Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I do feel like I have a little thought I'd like to share. I'd like to think a little bit about a thankful heart. Seems like we live in a world of unthankfulness. And I want to talk more about the idea of a thankful heart than just for a thankful moment. And I think it's good to have thankful moments. I have a lot of thankful moments when some calamity is avoided or something that's intense in my life is relieved. I can feel a real sense of thankfulness to be out of that moment. We had an incident recently where we just about had a very bad accident. And to be honest with you, I don't know how we didn't have the accident. We was going along and I realize sometimes I can be pretty out of it when I'm driving, just driving along. But I don't think this was one of the moments. I was driving along and I was in the left lane and there was a vehicle coming, or I was coming up on a vehicle fairly quickly on the right side, so I hadn't switched lanes, and a vehicle came up fast beside me on my right side, and he was pulling a large trailer, like a lowboy type trailer with, you know, like a, you'd haul vehicles on or something, and he come up through there, and then he quickly pulled in to get between the space, and my wife said, I think it was a good observation, it looked like he forgot he had a trailer on. That's what it looked like. He had came, and when he started coming back across, and we're going 75 miles an hour, and right beside me, just off, there wasn't much room off of the road. I'll say that. There was a little bit of gravel, and then there was these wire cables that they cable off between the two directions. And the only thing, it happened so fast, he come over so quick, that I just said, oh no, Lord help, and something to that effect, oh no, and I started to hit the brakes, and I seen that didn't seem like there was enough space and time, and it looked like the collision was inevitable, and I actually braced for impact, and I had dropped the tire to the gravels and was trying to slow down, but it looked like it was impossible, but it happened. That trailer missed our van. It looked like the molecules merged. It was as if it vaporized between the two. It was so close, and my heart was racing, and my wife's heart was racing, but we was thanking God that we were spared of that. And you can imagine that if you've been in those kind of places, it's not hard to be thankful right there when you can picture what that might have meant at that speed for that little van. It could have been very bad, and so I had a moment of great thanksgiving. This wasn't just in a thought. This was me saying, "Thank God, thank you, Jesus," meaning a thank you, and I'm thankful for the moment. But I want to think more about having a state of thankfulness, not just when. Because if we realize if we do just that, then we're limited to only those times that we'll have the desire of it, or that we'll get the benefit of this being thankful. So it's more than that, because there is times where you do hit something. There is times where things don't go your way. There's a great expectation sometimes, and we had one recently. In our camp meeting, some of you all were there, but there was a heavy call for rain in the camp meeting, and was having a little party at the park and a little celebration for my daughter's graduation and all. And so there was many prayers went up. The Lord, would you say the rain? I'm going to tell you, I'm very thankful because the Lord gave us a very beautiful day and saved the rain against all the predictions. And I was very thankful. But the truth is, sometimes it rains on your party. And sometimes you pray a lot about it not raining and it rains on your party. Okay? God is good. We had poured quite a few yards of concrete for our new building. And we didn't have the luxury of having a lot of time to get it done. We scheduled it for this weekend, and everybody said, but what if it rains? You better pray. This is the time. It's ordered. The people's here to do it. We're going to do it. It's a problem when it rains hard with concrete work. It's just a problem. And so we started doing the work in a very cloudy day. And it was going to rain. And somebody would go up to the store to Arborvale, just a few miles, and they'd come back and their vehicle would be all sloppy wet and they'd say, it's pouring the rain down up in Arborvale. Didn't rain in Greenbank. Then somebody would come from Dunmore and they'd say, it's pouring the rain down Dunmore. But ain't raining here. We went all day long with rain showers hitting around us. I want to thank the Lord for something. It didn't rain on us. There was a few drops hit that didn't matter at the end. Was able to get it done and get it covered up. Then I think it rained after that. Well, thank the Lord. Right? Thank God. He saw our dilemma and He's God enough and He's done something about it. What would you be like had it rained on your concrete? See? I had a situation. I was off on a trip last year, and in the winter time, and it got quite cold, and it got bitterly cold. And my son lives beside me, and it wasn't like he was at the house every day or any time. It just happened that he come over, and he saw a hawk attacking my chickens. So he comes and he throws snowball at the hawk to fly it out of there. Then he goes in to get something to shoot it with. So he went into the house and he said, coming back through the house, he told me, he said, Dad, as I was coming back through, I heard the water line go. He heard the water start. The water line had froze and busted. And he heard it when it thawed. It was right as he was at that moment. It would have been seconds would have mattered. If that had been let loose, it would have run thousands of gallons of water in my house. And he caught it before it got the floor wet and turned the valve off. And I said, I sure thank the Lord for that. And my other son, when I said, I sure thank God for that, he said, you would anyway. And I want to tell you something. That is true. But it would have took a lot longer to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said thank the Lord immediately for that blessing. And I would have got to the place that I would have said, thank you, Lord. But it would have took something to do it. So I want to think today about the state of heart. A state of thankfulness to God because we live for Him and because our trust and confidence is deeper than the events that happen. Know what I mean? You make a relationship with one that we have understood is supreme above all, isn't He? Do you doubt that God is over everything today? Is He God at all? How deeply does He love you? Answer the question. If you can answer, how deeply? Does He love you a lot, a little? Or say this, is He sleeping? Because, I mean, He can be over everything and love you a lot, but maybe He takes moments that He vacations from your calls. Is He off the job? We have a God that we have a confidence in who He is. God is God Almighty. God is love. God said that He loved us so much that He gave His Son for us. He loves us a lot. He doesn't sleep or slumber. Everything that happens to us happens for a purpose. There is a scripture, Romans 8:28 is the most used scriptures in trouble for me. I mean, every time that I've had serious places of trouble, good saints everywhere will recognize the need of allowing you to know Romans 8:28. Remember Romans 8:28. For we know all things work together for good, right? I mean, we know this. All things work together for good. It didn't say all things are good and wasn't pretending that it is. It's not. You won't conclude that everything is good. But everything does, everything works together for good to them that love God and call it according to His purpose. It can't help from working that way. So in the bottom line of all the things of our lives, everything that happens in life, we can have a state of thankfulness in God. We can be very thankful. You may not feel well today. Or maybe life didn't present you the same blessings that it did someone else. Or there may be some pitfalls or down places in your life. But if you believe God is who God is, then all things work together for that purpose. Of your very best, God can do the best with those things. So today, maybe it'll get too hot to suit you. Do you know there's a state of thankfulness towards God? More than just the events that happen, but that I... Lord, my heart's resonating that I thank You. If you're here today and you're saved, you've got the greatest reason to thank God. You may not be as healthy as some, as rich as some, or as blessed in this life as some, but you got the most important gift that God ever gave. You got salvation. It's enough to be thankful for. It's enough to set a state of thankfulness in your heart. No matter what happens to me of this life, I've got a life eternal. I've got a promise of eternal life. I know we're all going to get out of here someday. But if I've got this, if I've got His salvation, I've got the place that I can have a true state of thankfulness. Now the scripture says over in, maybe I'll turn to it to get it right. I think it's in Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 starts this way. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, trady, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than self. This is an awful-sounding bunch of stuff. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, in this scripture, there is a question that I often think about when I read this is that it says in the last days, this is going to, but what does the last days mean? And surely that in the dispensation of time, we could be considered in the last days. And the state of human thought and beings would be this list of things. And right in the middle of a list of hideous thinkings is the idea that men will be unthankful. And I have to say this. Do you see any evidence, or is there any thoughts that possibly the world around us is getting to a place to where it's unthankful? Is there any evidence that the last days are here and that people are saying, give me, give me, give me. I'm not content with such as I have, and I need more and all this, and I'm not... Is there any evidence of those kind of thoughts? Well, sure. It's all around. Unthankfulness. And this last thing, unthankful for the things around. For instance, I'll give you a little, for instance, happened to me in my life one time. I worked for a surveying company, had a boss named Marshall. Marshall had 7 employees, and I was one of them. He was a very generous man, and always tried to do the best he could. He didn't have to be forced to. It was his heart to do it. And he would give us Christmas time bonuses. And a bonus is by its very definition something that you didn't earn and you didn't make an agreement for. So, but the boss would come Christmas time, and he would see how much money there was, generally, and then he would give us some of the money. And sometimes it was fairly good. Well, this particular year, we all get this envelope, and in the envelope was our Christmas bonuses. We opened it up, and we all got $50. And the men looked at their Christmas bonus, several of them, and they was kind of like that, and one of them says, well, wow, sir, expecting more than that. Another one of them says, well, that's disappointing. Another one says, I don't know why he just didn't keep it, if that's all he's going to give us. And I was pretty quick to speak up and say, hey, if anybody doesn't want their Christmas bonus, I will gladly do the honors of taking it off of your hands for you. You won't have to worry about it then. Well, nobody took me up on the offer. But I went to my boss. Sat down in the chair after work and in his office, and we had been friends way before I had worked for him, and kind of kicked my feet back and said, Marshall, I want you to know that I really appreciate the Christmas bonus that you give us. Because he didn't have to. It was pure goodwill. And I was thankful. And he said, Marty, I'd have loved to give you guys more. But $350 is all we had. You got everything I had. They never knew that when they had that kind of a feeling. But it indicates a difference between having a thankfulness for the moment and the expectations being realized, and having a thankful heart. Being thankful for the things that have. So you sat down to eat, and instead of a big steak and a salad and baked potatoes, maybe you sat down to a meager bowl of poison and a slice of bread on it. Could you be thankful? Not if you don't have a thankful heart and you're disappointed and you said, I never did like this kind of gruel. I never did like this kind of stuff. But if you look at the whole idea of mankind and where he's been and the things that he's had to do and all those kind of things, it's not hard to have a thankful heart for the blessings that you get in life. Lord, thank you. If this is all that nourishes my body, Lord, nourish it good, and may I use it to live for you. And you can be happy, but you can't be happy and not thankful. Do you realize that you can't be happy and not thankful? If you're not thankful, you're not happy. The idea is God wants us to be happy with everything, and you have to have a thankful state of being to be always happy. So the Lord wants us to realize that He is God, and He watches over us, and if you need fed, He'll feed you. And if you need something in life, He'll give it to you. If you need challenged in your spiritual life, He'll sacrifice the moments of your physical life to get your blessing spiritually. And we all should say, thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice of my physical life for the betterment of my eternal life. Thank you, I know you're working for me in my life. So all of a sudden I'm feeling like that this, I just want to tell you. I had so looked forward to this meeting beyond hours, past hours. I would look through hours to get it come to LaRondra. I was so pumped about getting to come down here and the whole event of coming down and our whole routines of what we do when we come down and staying in the little that's still Clevenger's little room over there and the whole event with you all. I love you all. It's coming, and I am so, and my wife can testify, I just so look forward to it. And we're getting ready for the whole thing, and right before we get ready to go, my wife gets my little girl and says, "Marty," and she marches her into the where there's better light in the kitchen and says, "Chicken pox." And I, oh no, chicken pox. Boy, is that going to change things. So the event went sour. Now what? I said to my wife, "We sure are blessed, aren't we?" "Yeah, we're blessed." We're so blessed. Thank God for what He allows into our life. He knows what He's doing. Yeah, there's a little strains, a little disappointment, but I'm so thankful for God. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful that God had still come down here. But maybe if I hadn't got to come down here anyway, I could still be at home being thankful. I could still be happy with the situations that are around. There'll be disappointments in life, and we have been just wanting Abby to be, she's the last of our family that hasn't had chicken pox. And we've almost willed them on her. We've tried to pop them out. We've wanted her to get them so bad before, guess what? Monarch. And if she gets contagious from Abby, she sleeps with her, she wrestles her, she's been all over her this whole week, and if she hasn't got it before now, she will probably get them in a couple weeks, and thank you, Jesus. I'm still blessed. It's got to be a state. It's got to be a state of a God that knows the best time for all of us. I told my wife, if that's the worst thing that happens to us, we've really got it made. If that's the worst thing that happens, it's not ideal. It's not what it wants. But the disappointments should be small in those ways. And have a thankful state of being, a thankful heart. God is good to us. Always. And it'll get worse. There'll be bad things, even unto death. There'll be things that's going to happen. Serious things in our life. But it should never rock this foundation of being thankful to God for salvation. Thankful for God for loving us. Thankful for the unchangeable. There's things that's going to be changing. I've got into running. I really feel good physically now. I got back into running, and so every day I'm running, and I'm feeling good. And one day, I was going along, and I felt, I had already went past the mile marker, and I was coming home for my 2 miles, and I just thought, I just love this. It feels so good. I feel so good. My mind is free. My body's running right. I feel so good. And the Lord warns me, I do use it as a meditation time. It's a very enjoyable time. And the Lord warns me, it won't last forever. Don't you count on it because it'll drop out from under you. Count on the things that don't drop out from under you. Count on the eternal things. Jesus' love is not going to fall out from under you. His faithfulness is not going to fall out from under you. The fact that you can pour your heart out to Him in prayer is not going to drop out from under you. Get the things that are solid in your life. I still run, but I want to say I tell the Lord, help me not to put it on an artificial thing, because if I put it on my hope so much enjoyment, and that's what it is, do you know I'm not going to be thankful when I lose it? Because it's going to mean too much to me. But when I have the one that really is matters, I can be thankful. This world is very unthankful, and if you're not careful, it's contagious. It'll be contagious. I know, because when I worked with the men on the job and stuff, and when they got to grumping and complaining, it was contagious. If you wasn't careful, you would feel grumpy and complaining too. I tried to counteract all that. Oh, that's all he's going to get. I went and thanked the boss. Thank you for doing that for us. Appreciate that. There's a scripture over in Luke, the 7th chapter of Luke. 17th chapter of Luke. 11th verse says, "And it come to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered unto a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Obviously, there was something that this man got that the other ones didn't. There was a blessing on him that the others, they all was cleansed as they went. But I wonder sometimes if isn't it something, be something if you could come even in the state of leprosy and say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for the help. Yeah, maybe I'm in this state, but I know my faith is that you're working in my life. Something more there. So he returns back and gives thanks. You know, I don't think it's pleasing to the Lord. I know in my own life, you're always, if you're the one that, you may not ask for much else, but if you go a long ways out of your way, it's kind of an ugly thing to think that you go so far and do so much and that somebody's still unthankful. I know to parenting, parents would probably say this, isn't it a kind of an ugly thing when you see your children when they're not thankful? When mom maybe goes out of her way to make something special or make something that and it's not received with thanksgiving, isn't that just a little bit of how you feel about that? That you tried and give so much and at least, you don't have, there's nobody that can make you like something when you don't like it. It isn't about being dishonest. It's about having a thankful heart. It's about the idea that somebody did that much for me. I ought to be thankful no matter what they did. And having a thankful heart for the blessings that we have. The fact of it is today, you will hear a lot of people tomorrow, 4th of July, you'll hear a lot of people say, I thank God for this country. But there's equally amount of people that says that how bad and how displeased and say, come on. What a blessing it is to live in a place where we don't think anybody's going to storm through those doors and do us harm. Where there's laws and rules and where we have decency around us. And we're blessed. We're blessed. Anybody going hungry? This world's full. The God has blessed us with such abundance that the crops are growing. The fields are full. California's got nut trees by the runs, and Iowa's cornfields are growing, and we're blessed as a people. Well, I've heard somebody say, well, I know there's a perspective on it, but I heard people say, boy, it's gas prices. Can't afford gas prices and all this stuff. Folks, it ain't been all that long ago. I say, at least in my... I'm old enough to have had a grandpa that knew what it was like when you didn't everybody have a vehicle. They still was riding the horse and wagon to town, my grandpa was. He remembered that he would share those kind of things. It was a whole different world than we live in now. And somebody brought out up home and said, somebody said something about all the gas prices. And he said, well, he said, it isn't really that... like that. He said, listen, gas prices was about $3 a gallon. And he said, when I was, said, I remember working for a dollar an hour. and said you could buy a gallon of gas for about 30 cents. So a third of the dollar went to, of an hour's work. And he said, "There, it's only $3, and who don't work for $10 an hour now? About everybody works for at least $10. If you look at it in a relative sense, it's better, but you got to complain about something. There's always a need to complain about something. Let's complain about something. One of the things that God was displeasing to God about the children of Israel, they was murmuring. Brother Tony said to us one time in a Bible study, who are you murmuring at when you murmur? You ever think about it? Who's bearing the brunt of the murmuring? Well, you ain't murmuring at me if the weather ain't right. Because I don't do it. The preacher don't control the weather. You don't have enough finances or something goes wrong with the... Who are you murmuring at? Well, there's only one in the position to be murmured at. It's God. So we murmur at God over those things. What the Lord wants us to have a thankful heart. There was one leper come back to give God the glory and the honor for what the Lord had done for him. I think he got special blessings from that. Over in Thessalonians. This is a great challenge. Taking it literally, it's a great challenge. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks." You able to do that? This is where you've got to believe that all things work together for good. In all things give thanks, but it goes more than that and really puts it in a nutshell, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That in all things, in everything, you give thanks to God in everything. Well, some things ain't thankworthy, aren't they? Maybe God's doing something in your life. Are you willing to erase something that God's doing in your life as something that shouldn't happen? It says in everything give thanks. It's the will of God that you give thanks in everything that happens in life, that you're thankful for what God's doing in your life. A thankful heart is a state of being thankful to God always. Giving that to God. Lord, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful that I've done that. Thank you for the way you lead our lives. Thank you today, Lord. And yeah, it stormed. Yeah, the things went wrong. And in the middle of that, the greatest grace that can be shown, in the middle of catastrophe, when the walls are all down around your house and all of it seems to be gone, that you bow down and you say, "Thank you, God, for being God to me." What, is Job not impressive to us? That after he lost everything, he says, "God, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." God's God no matter what He allows happen into my life. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You give thanks in those situations. It is the basis of your happiness. You will not be happy when you have to complain and murmur, when you're not satisfied with the situations that happen, and there'll be unpleasantries. But you know, there's something that's beyond that you can be thankful in the middle of all of it. It takes a while sometimes for me to find that state of that. Sometimes you have to ask the Lord for meanings of things, or Lord, what are you doing here or something. But there's no reason not to be honest to the Lord if you're not feeling that way. Tell Him. Well, I ain't feeling so thankful today. You ever tell the Lord that? I tell the Lord stuff like that all the time. Lord, I ain't feeling so thankful today. Well, He knew it anyway. Lord, I want to be thankful. I just don't really feel that way. Help me to realize, and it won't be long before the Lord will help me to realize that I'm upset because the lawnmower ain't running or because the car quit. And then just now a child runs down and almost gets killed. And I said, I know why I should be thankful. Thank you, Lord. I put too much in things that didn't need to be. You got the lesson to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you allow into our lives. God is good. And He wants us to be thankful. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be of a certain quality. And all through the ages, those that have lived for the Lord have been different than the world. And when the world was shocked and there's been godly people that sat down in the middle of it all and said, "We thank Thee, Lord, for what You've done for us." Maybe it's just a slice of bread. Maybe it's got butter. Maybe it don't. But if you chew on it, you say, "I'm blessed. Thank You, Lord, for giving me this and for what You do for us." Our responsibility is to mind our thankfulness today. We're to be thankful to God for the things that He does for us in life. And I want to look at a few scriptures. One of them is in 2 Samuel. Just want to pick up thought there. 2 Samuel 12 and 8. Or 7. I'll start with 7. This is following the story of the death of Uriah after David had had ordered him into the front of the battle to kill him after he had taken his wife. You all know the story fairly well. Then Nathanael comes to David. The prophet comes and tells David a little story about a rich man that took the poor man's ewe lamb and slew it. And David's wrath was kindled. And this was God's expression to David. Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives to thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight?" The Lord had said, "David, I want you to get this. Of how unthankful you are. How little gratitude you had. I anointed you to be king. I delivered you from Saul's hand. I gave you Saul's possessions. You're reigning as king. I gave you the wives. I gave you the substance. I gave you all these things. And had it not been enough, I would have gave you whatever else you needed. Why would you despise the commandments of the Lord? Why would you be so indignant, so ungrateful for what I've done to you, for you, and bless you, and shown you that nothing was too much that I wouldn't have done for you? Why have you done this?" He wasn't contented. He wasn't happy. He didn't say it with words. He said it with actions. "I'm not contented with what you've done, Lord. So I'm going to have to do it myself." I just wanted to bring out the thought there that the Lord said, if there's been anything, if there had been anything lacking to you, I would have gave it to you. In another illustration, there was a scripture. You remember where the Lord said, "I planted a vineyard. And I planted all, and have all, done all of these things. And if it had been anything else necessary for it, I'd have done it. I'd done everything that needed to be done. And you still wouldn't have it." Jesus said to him in a place, something like that, "How often would I have gathered you together as a hen would her chicks? But you would not." Just unthankful for what God's attempting to do. Psalms Let's see, Psalms 50? Maybe it's what I want. Yeah, Psalms 50. Tenth verse says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." I think this comes in the line of an idea that the people had that they could sacrifice themselves out of anything. Right? That there was a feeling that I can live, I'm going to put it in modern terms, I can live Monday through Sunday, or Monday through Saturday, any way I want to. And I'll go make it right on Sunday by putting my money in the box, by gracing you all enough to sit here and listen to you for a couple hours. I will have a religious order about my life that I can go on Sundays, and maybe I can have my name as a part, and that will suffice in my religious service. And that's kind of the idea about this. And the Lord comes along. Their idea was that I can sacrifice a critter. It was a part of the Jewish system. But God wanted much more than their ritual duty. Even of that time, the ritual was with meaning that He wanted them to have. It wasn't without meaning that they did it. And they had that feeling. So the Lord makes an argument for them. And this is His argument. How can you give me what's already mine? You think you're doing some great thing? All the cattle of the field are mine. All of the wild beasts of the mountains, I can name them. You're going to, and if you don't have that, well, I'll offer a couple turtle doves. I know all the fowls of the air. I created them and they're all mine. And as far as you taking them and eating them and all of that, if I was hungry, God says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. As if I need you to say, hey, did you all hear that God was hungry? We need to make another sacrifice. Anybody got an extra? God's hungry. God said, I wouldn't tell you if I was hungry. Well, you can't do anything for me. But if you're interested, just so this, if you're interested in me, F God, and you really want to be in a place of relationship with me and pull my string, and you, if you want to get an answer to your prayer, and you want me to move on your behalf, and you're interested in a relationship that can grow from that, it won't be by you making another sacrifice of my animals. But this is what He said. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Here's the answer. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Wait, He said He'd do something. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee and shall... I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So He's got a system. He wants to show us that system. And if you're interested in being able to move God on His throne, He just gives you one of the ways of doing it. And it's having a state, a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, I am thankful. So if Mama bakes some cookies and they don't turn out just right, and instead of I thank you, Mom, for baking these cookies, We appreciate your love and the fact that you would take your time and do that. And thank you, Mom, for these. Maybe they didn't turn out as well as you like to have cookies. But when it is what is this trash? You might not get another batch of cookies. I'm saying in the human sense, Mom will probably bake you some more cookies. But the attitude can go a long ways. And what the Lord says is, if you are interested in making an offering unto me that is sweet to me, that I look for in my people, that I want to grace everyone that calls upon my name, God knows He's right, folks. Do you know that? God knows that He's not going to make a mistake to you and that His love toward you is perfect. He knows it. And He wants us to appreciate it. And if you have anything that you can do for God, you say, well, I want to do something for God. Well, all of us should want to do something for God. You know, the first thing all of us ought to do for God starting off is to be thankful. We ought to have the grace of thankfulness in our hearts, Lord. Thank you. Well, you may say, well, this went wrong. And maybe the list is a lot more than that. That doesn't have anything to do with the state of being thankful. Lord, above it all, I still thank God. Maybe it ain't going. But the offering then that's made, I'm going to make an offering to God. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for what you will do. Thank you for this life I live. I imagine there'll be heartache in all of our lives somewhere down along the line. I see few humans go through life without it. But we're blessed in the middle of it. We're blessed to have a God that will hold our hand, that can give us grace in that kind of time. We're blessed to have Him care for us and provide for us and of all those things. And if there's anything that you could say, Jesus, I love you so much and I want to pay you, what can I pay you with? I think His answer would be the offering of thanksgiving. Be thankful. Be gracious. Be thankful for all that you get and what's around you. And it's a blessing. Now, there's a lot in the Scriptures about thanksgiving. A lot more Scriptures. I think there's another Scripture that says for all things be thankful. There is a hardship that comes in life and things that are hard to be thankful for. I remember the story, probably you all read it, but there was a story in Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. You remember the incident where they was in they had been put in this, her and her sister. Her sister was Elizabeth, maybe. Is that her name? Betsy. Betsy. Betsy, and they was put into this place, and Corrie was, she loved the Lord, but she wasn't at the same level as what Betsy was, obviously, and they put her into